Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
If you've got your Bible with you, can you go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 16? Acts chapter 16. While you're turning there, I'm going to give you some context for me. I'm Ben Archer. I'm the student ministry pastor here at Victory Family Church. And so I grew up in a small town called Burgettstown. We had more cows and pastures than we did sidewalks. I'm 29 years young. I've got four chest hairs, one wife, one daughter. I love food. I love riding dirt bikes. And holla at your boy, I love to drink coffee. Now, I brought a picture of my wife today that we're going to throw up real quick. I am married to Alyssa. There she is. Alyssa Archer. She is wonderful. She's beautiful inside and out. She is Mexican. She is spicy. Pocos Locos Forever Homes. And man, we just have so much fun. We also have a daughter together. And we got another picture. Mila Catalina Archer. Mila Catalina Archer. Coincidence? I think not. And so you have Mila Catalina Archer, and then you've got the whitest, brightest last name ever. So there's a little bit of me in there. But we're going through such a fun time right now with Mila. You know, we're teaching her to smile. So if you ask her to, can we throw that up one more time? If you ask her to smile, basically that's what you're going to get. It is so much fun. She's 20 months old. She's a sponge. She's a mockingbird. And so we chase her through our home right now. And as we chase her, we're constantly saying, I'm going to pinch your butt. I'm going to pinch your butt. And so it's so wild because when she meets people for the first time, sometimes she'll say, I'll pinch your butt. It does make for an awkward conversation starter, but we work through it. So that's a little bit about my family. One last thing before we jump into God's word tonight. I just wanted to encourage everybody. So I am the student ministry pastor. So if you haven't signed your kids up for summer camp, please, please, please sign them up. We have an amazing camp. It's so awesome what God does. And every single year we see signs and wonders. We see God show up in such a magnificent way. We see people get healed emotionally, relationally, physically. In fact, one of the year we had a student that came up to us and he said, hey, will you lay hands on me and pray for me? Just earlier in the week, he said, the doctor said that I have to have glasses and I don't want glasses and I believe that God will heal me. And so will you pray for me? So sure enough, we laid hands on him and we prayed for him and God showed up in such a magnificent way. He does not wear glasses today. Come on. Come on. Let me hear you. So God showed up and healed him. And that's just one out of hundreds of stories that we get from camp. And you know what? If you're a parent in here and you have sent your children to summer camp, can I see your hand real quick? Oh man, praise God. Praise God. I really believe that if I were to ask every single one of you that you would say that your child came home and they've told you how they've had an experience with God, that God is real, and God showed up in a mighty, mighty way. So I just want to encourage you that if you haven't signed them up, please go to myvfc.info and get them signed up. But if you got your Bible with you or your cell phone, that's great. Both of them are Bibles. So let's go ahead and get that out. You could download the YouVersion Bible app, and let's go through God's word together. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. Now we're going to just hover right here. This is going to be, these scriptures that we're about to read will be the foundation for the night. And I'll share some others, but we'll keep coming back to this as this is home base. And I want to encourage you tonight, please take notes. Note takers are history makers. I really believe that if you store God's word up in the well of your heart, that in due time, in due season, God will bring that out of you. And I believe you got to be an echo before you can be a voice, that God will bring that out of you. So we're going to go ahead. We're going to jump right in. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. If you're with me, say yeah.
Yeah.
So that was pretty good. That was pretty good. A little bit. I just want you to know, I love some feedback. So as I'm going through tonight, if I'm preaching good, I want to know. You could say amen. You could say come on. You could say hallelujah. You could say preach it, white boy. And if I'm preaching bad, you could still say amen, hallelujah, Preach it, white boy. Come on, I need to hear you. So we're going to jump right in. Acts 16:25. At about midnight, Paul and Silas, they were praying and they were singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up because he had fallen asleep binge-watching Netflix. And so when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Whoa, don't harm yourself. We're all here." And the jailer called for the lights and he rushed in, trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and he asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your whole household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all others in his house. And at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and his whole household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and he set a meal of Chick-fil-A with waffle fries, amen, before them. And he was filled with joy because they had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. Oh man, I just love that last part. He and his whole household. Anybody tonight that you believe the good news of Jesus Christ isn't just for you, but it's for everybody in your house? Come on. Anybody want to see your whole house get saved? Your whole house serving the Lord? And that's all right. That's right. And maybe you're believing that for a child that isn't saved, or maybe there's a cousin that isn't saved. Everybody's got a cousin that isn't saved, or maybe it's a spouse or even a parent. But can we just have faith tonight, that believing that that God is going to show up and family members are going to get saved? Can we believe that tonight? Amen. I want to preach a message, and if you're taking notes, and I pray that you are, you could write down the title of today's talk. It's called "That's My Jam." That's my jam. Yeah, go ahead and as you're writing that down, turn to somebody next to you and tell them with a little bit of attitude, say, "That's my jam." But now look to your second person who is obviously not your first choice. We're not keeping score. Look to them and tell them, "That's my jam." But don't say it all like,
"Well, Rick and Jimmy, yep, that's my jam. We're going to get together and Jimmy jam, that's my jam."
No, you got to say it. You got to say it with some hood. You got to say it with like some Streets of Cranberry. You know what I'm saying? Like, "Yeah, that's my jam." We're going to go ahead and we're going to pray and just believe that God's going to show up and he's going to encourage us tonight. Can we believe that? Let's bow our heads. Father, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Father, that it's a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. And Holy Spirit, would you open our eyes so we can see Jesus? Would you open our ears so we can hear you so clearly? God, do what only you can in this time and in this setting. And Father, I thank you as you just teach us how to worship you and how to love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Amen and amen. So I do need some crowd participation. So real quick, by a show of hands, where are my music lovers at? Where are you at? Okay. All right. So if you are on Spotify, let me see your hand. Okay. What about Amazon Music? Yeah, what about Apple Music? I love all types of music. Let me share some of my favorite kinds of music. And so one of my favorite that I really enjoy, I really like it, screamo music. I don't know what happens. It's something when they go hard and fast and they're like, ding, 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 and you can't, it gets me. I also like rap music. So I'm a white guy that fell in love with rap music early. I grew up in the 90s. Yep. Anybody like Michael Jackson? Any Michael Jackson fans in the house? Okay, what about Ariana Grande? Where you at? Okay, high schoolers, all right. What about Maroon 5? Yeah, okay. Drake? Justin Bieber? Jimmy Buffett? Come on, Tom Petty? Any Tom Petty fans in the house tonight? What about Taylor Swift? Yeah, okay, I heard you, I caught that. If you don't like Taylor Swift, let me just say we got bad blood, okay? It's all going to be bad. But I like jazz music. Any jazz lovers? Okay. What about oldies? Anybody like oldies music? Oh, okay. I like all types of music. But there's one type of music I just can't stand. One type of music, I can't do it. Don't want to do it. Ain't going to do it. You can't make me. I don't want to listen to no country music. Don't want to do it. Can't do it. Listen, I don't want to hear anything about your truck. I don't want to hear anything about your dog or the reasons for the tears on your guitar. Like, nope, don't want to do it. Ain't nobody got time for that. But I got to tell you, my ultimate favorite type of music, above screamo, I love it. I love some worship music. Anybody in here, you just love to worship God? Come on and praise God. Anybody like Hillsong? Where you at? Okay. But what about Hillsong Young and Free? Bethel? How about Jesus Culture? And I love worship music. Let me just say this. If you are new to church, like you started coming to church in the last 3 to 5 years, you are so blessed. You are so hooked up. Because when I was growing up in church, we didn't have no Hillsong. We didn't have no Carrie Job. When I was growing up in church, we had to get our praise on to This Little Light of Mine. Like, who wrote that? It's just crazy. Nowadays, it's not fair. Nowadays, you ever be in church and the worship team, they're just killing it. And you kind of get before God, but you got your alligator arms on you. You know what I'm saying? Like, praise Jesus. Like, maybe you got your Hillsong sway. And then I don't know what happens, but all of a sudden, you hear your song. The worship team goes into your song, and they start playing Raise a Hallelujah. And you're like, get out the way. I'm about to get my praise on. I need some space in this house, and I'm getting my praise on. You guys know what I'm talking about? A little louder. Okay, thank you. I want to talk tonight about building your whole life on worshiping God. I want to talk tonight about building your whole existence on praising God. Because the reality of the situation is, let me just give you the FYI. The reality of the situation is the song might not always be the one that you love. Come on, the season might not always be something to sing about. But one of the things I love about God is we do not worship a God because of what he does. We worship a God because of who he is. Come on, there's something about a person that makes the decision and they say, I don't care what the track is. I don't care what's going on in my life. You're going to find these hands raised in the sky. You're going to hear this voice lifted as loud as it'll go. Come on, I'm going to get my praise on. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to bless the Lord. Is there anybody that just loves to praise and worship God? I want to tell you something. And listen, what I love about God is God never promised you a safe journey. He only promised you a safe arrival. So in the midst of the journey, you're going to have some highs and you're going to have some lows. You're going to have some peaks and you're going to have some valleys. This faith thing is not an event. This faith thing is a journey. So in the midst of the journey, you're going to have to learn in and you're going to have to learn how to lean in and praise God. When you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, when it feels like everybody's abandoned you, even when it feels like hell on earth, you're going to have to learn how to lean in and get a hold of God and say, I don't care what my body feels like. I don't care what my emotions are saying. I don't care what the world says. Haters going to hate. I'm going to get my praise on. I'm going to worship God because he's worthy. I just love this story, Acts chapter 16, a story about Paul and Silas. It says that at about midnight, Paul and Silas, that they're in prison. They are in jail. It's midnight. Paul and Silas, it's prison. Have you ever been to prison? Do not raise your hand right now. If you're single, you are going to stay mad single. But could you imagine at about midnight that Paul and Silas, they're in prison? And I don't know what you do at your house at midnight, but for me, my wife and I, we have the biggest, thickest down comforter that you can find. That thing is heavy. Hallelujah. And that thing's literally up to my neck. I'm about to pass out. That's midnight at my house. And so the Bible says that about midnight, Paul and Silas, they're in jail and they're lifting up some praise to God. By the way, they're not in jail because of murder. They didn't do anything wrong but love Jesus. Come on, can't we be thankful that we live in America where we can get our praise on without having any fear? Amen? They're in jail because of their faith. Paul and Silas, they're in prison. And the Bible says that as they start to praise the Lord, as they start to worship God, they're lifting up his name. They're saying, bless you, Lord. Oh, we raise a hallelujah. Yes, Lord, it's all about you, Jesus. And they're praising him. Bless you, God. It's about midnight in jail. The Bible says that other prisoners are listening to them. Can I tell you tonight that you never know who's listening to you? You never know who's eavesdropping on your conversation. You never know who's Facebook stalking you. Somebody's like, oh my gosh, That's me. How did you know? You never know who's listening to what you have to say. You know, it's amazing what the power of sound can do. Recently, my wife and I, we just went through the process of, we had a couple rental properties and we liquidated, we sold them. And so as we were going through that process to buy a new house, one of the apartments, the last home that we sold, we lived in them. There was three apartments. And so we had to renovate. We were ripping up carpet. We were stripping the walls, just getting it ready for transition. And I remember one night, it was super late. We're laying in bed, and we literally could hear somebody walking around inside our living room. It was the strangest thing. We could hear somebody talking out. Like, we're laying in bed. We could hear them. It was crazy. And I remember looking over to Alyssa, like my comforter up to my head. And I'm like, hun, you go check it out. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to pray. Because I'm the holy one, you know? But what had happened was when we ripped up the carpet, it changed the acoustics in the room. And so our tenants, as they would walk up to their apartment and they were talking, it literally sounded like they were inside our house. And I remember thinking to myself, it's amazing what the power of sound can do. So here's Paul and Silas, and they're in jail, but they're lifting up the sound of worship. They're lifting up the sound of praise, the sound of glory, the sound of heaven, the sound of freedom. They've got chains on, but they're praising God. And the Bible says that as they begin to praise the Lord, that the chains fall off and the doors open up. I'm telling you that the Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom, and that the chains gotta fall and the doors gotta open. Come on, somebody. I don't know what chains look like for you. I don't know what the prison door is in front of you. Maybe it's cancer. Maybe it's addiction. Maybe it's relational dynamics, or it's a financial situation. Maybe it's abuse or illnesses. But when the presence of God shows up, people get set free. Come on, who the Son sets free is free indeed. So watch this. They're praising God. The earthquake breaks out. The chains fall off. The doors open up. Paul and Silas, they walk out the jail cell. But not only do they get set free, the Bible says that all other prisoners are set free. So you need to know tonight that when you begin to praise God, when you begin to worship God, that you're not just getting freedom for you. It's affecting your home, your family, your friends, your workplaces. Come on, God begins to show us a new level of freedom. Like, OMG, they're free. This is amazing. It's unbelievable. Now, I had told you that the jailer, he's over here because he had fallen asleep, binge watching Netflix, and so he had passed out. And when the jailer wakes up, he sees Paul and Silas, and he sees the other prisoners, and the jailer concludes to himself. He says, I would rather take my life and commit suicide rather having to tell my boss, let alone my wife, what just happened on my watch. Oh, but you ain't ever gonna believe what had happened. See, what had happened was, just as he pulls out his sword, the Bible says he's on the brink of suicide. He's on the brink of taking his own life because of what just happened. He's got his sword out. It's about to go down. And the Bible says that Paul looks over and he sees the jailer, and watch what he does. He goes, no, sir, don't do it. Think about your kids. Think about your wife, man. Don't do this. We're all here. Watch this. I love what God does. Our God never creates a win-lose scenario. Our God never wants to bless you to curse somebody else. Our God never wants to bring you up to push somebody else down. Come on, I believe that tonight, that God blesses us to be a blessing. Amen? He says, No. Watch what God does. This is crazy. He always creates a win-win scenario. You know, my wife and I, when we sold that last house and we were moving out of that stage, we had this guy that put in an offer on our home, and it looked so good. It looked so good. So of course we accepted it. And so as we walked through the process and the home inspection came in, he began to ding us for everything. Thing after thing after thing, and the house wasn't in bad shape. And I remember thinking to myself, I'm like, God, this is nuts. He outbid everybody else, and everything, every single time he does this, it's creating a lose scenario. It's a win for him and a loss for us. And I thought, shoot, I will never do business with you. And so, you know, we backed out. And so I thought, you know, what I love about God is God never blesses us to curse somebody else. He never hooks you up to put somebody else down. Paul's like, please don't do it. And the jailer, the one who was about to commit suicide, he's so moved by the compassion. He's so moved by the kindness. He's never seen anything like it. He literally comes running in and he comes before the Paul and Silas and he's shaking, he's trembling. He's like, guys, what must I do to be saved? Translation. If this is what Christianity is, sign me up. If your religion's about being nice to one another, looking out for one another, building people up instead of pushing them down, loving on them, believing the best in them, then I want to be a part of that. Now notice what Paul and Silas say. This is so crazy. This is awesome. It's amazing. He says, guys, if you want to be a Christian, all you have to do is believe in Jesus. And he goes, no, man, I know it's not that simple. And Paul's like, no, like seriously, all you have to do is believe in Jesus. See, our job is to point people to Jesus. Our job is to make much of Jesus. The Bible says to all who call upon the name of the Lord that they shall be saved. So the jailer, he can't believe it. He's like, no, this is wild. I know it's not that easy. Paul's like, no, trust me. All you got to do to be a Christian, to be one of us, is to believe in Jesus. If you can believe in Jesus, then you're saved. He's so moved. So once again, he goes, guys, do you think that you could come back to my crib and tell my wife and my kids how easy it is to get saved, to be a Christian? Paul's like, shoot, we fresh out of prison. You got food at the house? Like, let's go. And so the Bible says that Paul and Silas and the jailer, they come back to the house and the jailer gets saved. His wife gets saved and all the kids get saved and they all get baptized. Come on, can we give God a shout of praise tonight? Paul and Silas, they're sitting in the jailer's house and now they're sitting on the couch. They're watching Netflix. It's 2 a.m. They're posted up. Now what we just read at the bottom of the scripture, it says that the jailer, the one who was about to kill himself, the one who was about to take his own life, it's 2 a.m., his wife is saved. His kids are saved, and they're all baptized. And he's got two guys fresh out of prison. And the Bible says that he's washing their wounds, and he's feeding them food. He's feeding them food, and they're watching Netflix, and it's amazing. This amazes me that the whole time, Paul and Silas are like, we're not going to let our circumstances determine our faith, but we're going to let our faith determine our circumstances. Like, I don't care, come hell or high water, you're going to find these hands raised in the air. You could try to throw the kitchen sink at me, but I'm going to get my worship on. I'm going to praise God. I don't care if I got chains on. I don't care if there's prison doors in front of me. You can't take away my voice. You can't touch me. You can't hurt me, devil. I'm going to worship God. And sometimes you've got to worship and praise God when everybody around you is saying, why are you still praising him? You might have had the worst day ever. Hashtag Job's life. I don't know who I'm encouraging. But I came to tell you that just because you got Jesus with you on the journey doesn't mean that every day is going to be peachy keen. It doesn't mean that it's going to be all roses and everything's going to be great. It just means that you've got Jesus with you in the valley and you've got Jesus with you on the mountaintops. You've got him in the bad times and in the good times. And he's leading me. He's guiding me. He's healing me. He's teaching me. Come on, can we just give God a shout of praise? Worship team, would you guys come up and join me? I'm gonna give you four quick thoughts. I'm going to kind of go rapid fire, and I just pray that tonight you're taking notes, that you pull out your phone and you write these down. Number one, worship brings God and all that he is. Worship brings God and all that he is. You know, when you and I, when we begin to worship God, God's not up in heaven playing Fortnite. And like maybe you're in the car or, you know, you're in the shower or you're at your cubicle at work or wherever you are, maybe it's here at church, and God hits pause and he's like,
well, Rick and Jimmy, got to get down there again, huh? They're praising me. Let's hook them up. Let's give them the good 50% discount. Like, this is just great.
That's not God. When you praise God, the Bible says in Psalms 22, verse 3, he inhabits the praises of his people. Translation, please hear me. God lives where you praise. God lives where you praise. It could be in your shower. It could be in your car. It could be on your way to work or on your way to school. When you begin to praise God, God shows up. God doesn't send an angel. No, God shows up. Our God shows up. You ever invite friends over to your house and you know, everybody's hanging out and maybe they're like texting and the whole time you're just like, hey! And they're like, yeah, hold on. I'm talking to my wife. She's got Stouffer's going into the oven. She wants to know if we want two. Definitely going to do two. Like, you know, and you kind of feel like they're there. That was funnier than y'all thought. I just want you to know that. And you feel like they're there, but they're not really there. That's not God. God shows up and he's not distracted. He says, all that you need is available. What do you need? Do you need peace? You need joy? You need hope? You need kindness? You need forgiveness? You need love? What do you, all that I am is available. God's in this place. He's not distracted. And number two, worship takes my eyes off myself and places them on him. Worship takes my eyes off myself and places them on him. You ever get tagged in a photo? When you get tagged in the photo, there maybe there's like six people in the photo. The very first thing you do is you pull up that photo, you pinch and zoom. If you look good in that photo, keep it. If you look bad, take it down. Like, that's a horrible photo. Am I preaching to anybody tonight? Just bear with me for a moment. Our whole life is about us. Do people like me? Am I cool? Am I all right? Do I fit in? Am I accepted? When I worship God, when I open my mouth and I begin to praise God, I'm not just saying like you stand there all stiff. When I begin to praise God, all of my troubles, all of my anxieties fade into the background and then I can see him again. I know if I could just get a glimpse of heaven, if I could just get a glimpse of God, I remember one time when I was growing up in church, we grew up in a very Pentecostal church, and so you could call it the Holy Rollers. It was wild. Like, we had a flag team. It was nuts. But I remember when I was growing up in church, I remember asking my dad, I said, Dad, I didn't understand when I was young. I said, Dad, I don't see any guns, but I see everybody with their hands up. And I said, Dad, why do people lift their hands in church? And you know, we didn't grow up with a lot of money. And he said, you know, when I have you take the TV antennas at home and I kind of just have you shift them so that you can just get it just right to get a clear picture. He said, they lift their hands because they just need to see Jesus. If they could just get a clear picture of Jesus and when they lift their hands and they raise their hands and their hands are open, they bring all of this stuff, all this life and baggage and anxiety and depression, and they just bring it before the throne of God and they say, Jesus, it's not my burden. And they begin to praise him. You could also picture it like this, a funnel. What does a funnel do? It creates a concentrate. They praise God. We praise God. You know, the Bible says this in Hebrews 12, verse 2. It says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith, looking unto the author, Jesus, the finisher of our faith. I dare you tonight to get a glimpse of God. Number three, worship refreshes my soul. Worship refreshes my soul. I love flying. When my wife and I, when we were getting married, we did a destination wedding, and you could go ahead and start playing something cool. She's going to help me sound spiritual. It's going to be great. Y'all laugh. You just wait. It's going to sound good. When my wife and I, when we were getting married, we did a destination wedding, and so we flew from Pittsburgh to Florida. I love flying. I don't know what happens. Like, I come prepared. I get the hoodie on and the sweatpants and all the good stuff. I make sure I got the headphones on. And every single time we fly, I just fall asleep. It's great. It's awesome. And so I remember when I fell asleep that I thought that we were going to wake up and it was going to be the coldest plane ever. But it wasn't. When we woke up, it was so hot. Like, I felt like I was in somebody's mouth, like neck sweaty, and just like cotton mouth. And I remember looking at the stewardess and they're all buckled in. And I'm like, God, I would do anything for a glass of water. And I remember that when I was in Pittsburgh, I bought a jug of smart water. And so I just began to pull that thing out. I started to chug it. And you know when you get halfway through how you're just like, can we do it? Oh my gosh, I'm all in. I'm like, I'm doing it. And I'm like, breathe through your nose. Ah, and it's like, you know what I'm talking about. Can I tell you? Worship refreshes my soul. When you feel down, when you feel depleted and you feel depressed, overwhelmed, filled with anxiety, and I come into his presence and I lift my voice and I raise my hands and I'm like, God, I need a time of refreshment. The Bible says in Acts 3, 19 through 20, it says, then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. Anybody need a refreshing time tonight? Thank you for the affirmation. Hallelujah. And the fourth thing, this is our last thought. Worship is my balance between my Luke 7:16. Luke 7:16 says that they all realized they were in a place of holy mystery, that God was at work among them. They were quietly worshipful and then noisily grateful. They were quietly worshipful and then noisily grateful. This is it. This is the moment that we're about to go into. You ever be in worship and the worship team's killing it and it doesn't matter how loud they are, but you kind of just get before Jesus. You get quiet before him. In fact, could you stand to your feet? Just get quiet before him right now. Just get quiet before him. Maybe you put your hands in your pocket and you just begin to think on God. Just begin to think on Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you that you love somebody like me. Just get quiet before him. I can't believe how good you are, God. Don't ever try to get from people what only God can give. Learn to receive from your Heavenly Father. He says you're chosen. You're set apart. You're pursued. You're esteemed. You're valuable. You're loved. He's generous. He's so good. Just think on God. And all of a sudden, you go from that place and you're just like, whoa, get out my way. I'm about to get my praise on. I'm going to get my worship on. Victor, I want to encourage you that tonight, that we make a shift. That tonight we begin to worship God and praise God like we haven't before. I don't know what the next step looks like for you. Maybe for you, it's lifting your voice and actually singing out loud. Maybe for you, it's actually going to It's raising your hands and saying, God, more of you and less of me. And we're just going to begin to worship God right now. And I want to encourage you to take advantage of corporate worship. Come on, when the Spirit of God shows up, there's freedom. And so there's freedom in this house. And we're just going to begin to worship God as we raise our hallelujah. Let's begin to praise him right now. Go ahead, Nate. We thank you, Jesus, that you're the King of Kings and you're the Lord of Lords. And we call upon your name. We thank you, Jesus. If you haven't made Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of your life, I want to make sure that we give every single person an opportunity. Jesus said this. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to the Father except through me. The Bible says in Romans 10, 9 through 10, that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe it in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. In a moment, I'm gonna ask if you haven't prayed that prayer for you to raise your hand. But I gotta tell you that that prayer isn't what gets you saved. The Bible says in Romans 10, 9 through 10, that when you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Lord means master. Lord means that Jesus begins to govern my life and my decisions, and I submit to the Word of God. And that if I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, that I'll be saved. Now, the prayer that we're going to pray is the vessel in which we do that, but it's you and your confidence in Jesus and call upon his name that saves you. So right now, if you've not made that decision, can you just slip up your hand? If you haven't made that decision to make Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of your life, if that's you, would you just raise your hand? I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. We're all going to pray out loud. I wouldn't embarrass you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're all going to pray together. If you raised your hand or you wanted to, pray this prayer loud enough for yourself to hear it and believe it in your heart. Jesus, we come before you and we thank you. We thank you for saving us. Jesus, we believe that you died on the cross for our sins. We ask you into our heart. Lord, I thank you for dying on the cross for me. And you rose again 3 days later, defeating death. I'm a child of God, and I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, can we give God a shout of praise? God's not done. God's not done. We have one more song, and then Sean's going to come up. And I want to ask you to yield to God, to submit to God. The Bible says that as we seek him, we'll find him. He's not hiding. He's not hard to find. We're going to continue to worship him through one more song. And I just want to encourage you to have an expectation that God is going to show up. That God is going to show up. Expectation is an invitation for God to show up beyond our wildest dreams. Let's just continue to praise him. Just continue to praise him. Father, we just thank you. We thank you that in the days, in the weeks, in the months to come, Lord, that God, we continue to build our life on praising you. We begin to praise you through the highs and the lows, that we're not steered, Lord, by situations that happen, God, that we lean on you and we don't let our circumstances determine our faith, but we let our faith determine our circumstances. And Father, we just yield to you and we praise you. And we thank you, Jesus. We just thank you. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen and amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.